Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 56. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Matt Scalise, editor of FilmNerds.com.
Graham, we just sat through an ugly half of NFC East football to witness. I guess, is this the first full trailer of Star Wars: The Force Awakens?
Well, I would still call this a teaser trailer, since we get very little dialogue, very little very little insinuation of what the actual plot is here.
Yeah, I agree with that description. I'm not sure how the studio is labeling it, but
definitely the longest clip. It's definitely the longest one we've gotten so far.
Yeah, it's more establishing tone, I guess, than really showing us like a plot summary, which I'm grateful for. But I do want to get just kind of our instant reaction to what we saw. So, you know, you, as documented in previous episodes of this podcast, I think it's safe to say you've had some skepticism about this project so far. Is that fair to say?
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. That's so, just because I don't want to be hurt again, you know, like I was with the previous set of Star Wars movies.
Yeah, look.
You know, and I don't think anybody checked themselves before Phantom Menace. You know, I think that we just kind of all went in thinking everything was going to be great. It was going to be Star Wars 4, basically, and then it was just going to continue the legacy. And we were all just completely bamboozled. And so based on that trauma, I'm absolutely sort of trying to manage my expectations, which is hard to do because every single trailer, including this one, has just shown amazing visuals that absolutely get you excited. And again, I agree that I'm glad that they're still keeping the plot under wraps, because I want to go in as fresh as possible. But man, my initial reaction is I'm blown away. Like from the beginning, all the choices that they made in terms of what they included, pretty much everything just blew me away.
So you definitely are impressed by what you saw in this trailer, right?
Absolutely. You know, they showed all different types of visuals, some similar to what we'd seen before, some new stuff, some new environments, especially the different worlds. You know, we're in space, we're on the desert planet, we're on a sort of more forest planet, and we're on an ice snow planet, which we got a glimpse of, you know, in the very first trailer when we see the evil, supposedly evil character walking through the snow. But here we see like a wide, vast expanse of an icy, rocky planet, which is very exciting. You know, we're going to go to a lot of different places in this first movie.
Well, and I'll say this, Graham. Like, I think I thought when episode one came out, you know, when we were seeing the promotion for it, I thought, well, this is going to be really cool. We're going to get to see all these new environments and you know, new additions to this universe, and I was excited about that. And in the end, it didn't really do anything for me, that stuff. And I, you know, I think I realized that, you know, even at the age I was when I saw that movie, and I would say I was probably that was probably before I became a person that watched movies with a critical eye at all. I knew, you know, that what I was missing out on in this movie was a bunch of characters that I cared about at all, and a story that involved them in a way that connected with me. And I would say, even with so little plot or dialogue in this trailer, the way that this trailer focuses on characters and not just big sweeping CGI environment shots, it's very encouraging to me. I would say the very limited performance moments that we see in this trailer shows me that the style of acting that J.J. Abrams has seems to have coaxed out of this cast might be something that actually has genuine emotion involved in it, and not just a bunch of stiff people standing on a green screen set. And I mean, those are the things that I'm most excited about with this. I would say the score that we hear in this trailer, it's got this ring of, you know, familiarity to it. And it's certainly calling back to all the original John Williams themes, but it's doing it in a really interesting and new way and sort of cool variations on it that, to me, are capturing the sort of nostalgic, emotional tone that I think we all really wanted from the prequels. To me, just everything about this so far continues to point towards a satisfying experience that isn't going to be like the prequel. I think there's nothing that I could see from this trailer that makes me think this movie is going to be anything like the prequel. Have you seen anything so far that's discouraged you?
No, nothing that goes far enough to say that I would be discouraged by it. Definitely, you know, a couple of things in this trailer that I noticed. There's one shot that's really cool where John Boyega character gets out of an X-Wing and he passes by the Oscar Isaac character. The backgrounds in that seem to be very heavily augmented by CGI. You know, whereas so far J.J. Abrams has gone out of his way to emphasize how many practical sets and effects are going to be used in this. I noticed that.
It still looks like it was shot outside, which makes a big difference to me because I couldn't tell you that there was a single shot.
That shot to me looked very heavily, like it used a lot of digital compositing. And then also that scene with the giant robot that's a very quick shot where it looks like Boyega and Daisy Ridley are walking into this courtyard with like these banners hanging down. Intriguing. And then this sort of big complex robot walks past them, which appeared to be CGI. Maybe I'm wrong, but so that's a new thing we haven't seen before. And it looks like with that, it's like they're, you know, after saying, being so clear about how they want to incorporate more practical effects and sets, they chose to include that little instance, which is an obviously CGI robot. So it's like
you were hoping they built a real giant robot.
You know, I might be wrong. Maybe it is a puppet that's just incredible because, you know, I'm blown away by the BB-9 character. But I want to go back. You said emotion, and that's the key word here. I think this is by far the most emotional trailer so far because you have so many instances of people in despair or in peril. You see the Oscar Isaac character is being sort of what appears to be tortured by an evil character. You see the crushed, disfigured helmet of Darth Vader and another character speaking to it. You see Leia crying into the shoulder of Han Solo. You see Daisy Ridley crying. I shared this with our text thread, that it seems like this almost looks like the trailer for the second movie because the second movie being sort of the movie or the part of a trilogy, a three-act structure where our heroes are in trouble, because of all those instances of where the characters are in trouble. This almost has more of an Empire Strikes Back sort of feel.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you know what? I would actually rephrase it and say I think it just feels like a sequel, and it is. You know, and I think that may have been part of the problem, again, with the way that the prequel trilogy was approached, was we're going to make this whole new thing. You know, it's going to have all these new characters in it, and, you know, we're going to build it from the get-go to be part of a three-act structure, and we're not going to really worry about it being its own satisfying story because we got three movies that we got to accomplish here. We have a three movie story that we're trying to accomplish. And look, I don't know anything about how any of this is put together, but I would say if you make this movie and you're not trying to reconnect it with the original source material that makes it even worse making a Star Wars movie to begin with, right? The only reason anybody cares is because we love the movie Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, like, I think that they've made a real effort to make this movie a movie that could not exist without the original trilogy, and that is rooted so heavily in the original trilogy that we already have built-in emotional weight to certain scenes. And I think that's what any great sequel does. You know, I think that's what makes, I'm going to throw out just a random example of what people always call a you know, one of the greatest sequels ever, The Godfather Part Two. That's a movie that has a bunch of scenes with an actor who wasn't in the first movie, but because of what we know about the story, everything has an emotional charge in all of those scenes because we're reconnecting it to stuff we already know about. And to me, like, when I continue to be amazed by the trailers for this movie because, number one, Harrison Ford actually looks like he's acting and like he cares. But all of the scenes we've seen of him, and there's a new clip that we see in this trailer. I mean, everything they've shown of him, it seems like that character is kind of this, like, wistful, older version of Han Solo. Like, he's sort of thinking back fondly to what happened in the original movie. And, again, it's so encouraging to me to see that they've thought it through and said, like, yeah, he'd be kind of a different person, and he maybe would have softened up a little bit, and he's this sort of connection that we're going to have to the original movies. And everything I've seen with Han Solo in the promotional stuff for this movie has been probably the single most encouraging element of it all to me, and that's really surprising. I would have thought, if anything, the original cast might have dragged it down.
Was he wearing an earring?
No,
I thought I might have seen it.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he's got like a teardrop tattoo.
Yeah. Right. You know, because I mean, I just feel like, you know, JJ might have like been about ready to start a take with Hunt with Harrison Ford, and he might have been like, oh, Harrison, actually, we're gonna need you to take the earring out, and I just could see Harrison Ford. I could just see him being like, no, kid. I think Han would have an earring.
Right.
And, you know, at this point in his life, you know, he's mature and he, you know, sometimes the grown men wear an earring at 70.
He's seen a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like Firewall. But no, I mean, another character I'm excited to see is Chewbacca, man. He looks great. And there's a scene where Chewbacca and Harrison Ford, Han Solo, have been captured. So another more peril, more problems and trouble. So there's going to be a lot of drama. This just seems epic. It just seems like, you know, I'm just so intrigued. It just seems like already that the first episode is going to be epic. Like, so much is going on. They go to so many different places. There's so many different dynamics. And I know that when it's over, you know, we're going to be so, hopefully, so excited for the second movie. And we're going to wait 2 years, even though we do have another Star Wars movie, this OT prequel, Rogue One, that's going to be coming out in a year. That should satiate us for a little bit. But, man, I am just extremely intrigued. And, you know, and I also mentioned to you guys and tweeted that, you know, now that we're three trailers in and we've seen a poster, we still have yet to see Mark Hamill. I'm starting to, like, sort of Monday morning quarterback it a little bit and just say, man, how cool would it have been to, like, reveal Luke in, we know he's officially been announced. He was at Comic-Con and everything, that it's officially been announced that he's in the movie. So how cool would it have been to, since they've prevented him from being in any of the marketing materials, to just be a total surprise? I mean, that would be nearly impossible in this day and age. But, man,
right.
You know, it's interesting that they've left him out of the marketing material. But I'm sure that just means that he's going to have a really cool, you know, part to play in the story. And I did see Rolling Stone tweeted that a few minutes ago that he does. They think he appears at the 140 mark in the trailer, where, you know, an arm from someone reaches out and touches R2-D2, and the arm has a glove. So technically, maybe it's a bait and switch from JJ. Who knows? Maybe Luke Skywalker does appear. But it's an interesting choice to include everybody and not include Mark Hamill or the Luke Skywalker character's face. at least, you know, which just builds the speculation, makes me way more excited to see what they're going to do with that character, who is the center of this entire universe.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it just would have been impossible to keep that under wraps. And J.J. Abrams has tried about as hard as anybody to be the guy when it comes to you know, keeping big surprises under wraps. And he just, you know, he's seen that blow up in his face enough times that hopefully he knows that you can't bank on that. I mean, you can't make the success or failure of your movie built around people not finding out what happens to it, you know, what happens in the movie, you know, especially in 2015. It's just not feasible. But I mean, I'm excited to see. I think they've done a really good job of keeping the Luke reveal really mysterious. I mean, we're going to go into the movie waiting to see it, and I think it's going to be. I'm excited to just see how it happens, how it plays out. You know, I don't need to know. I don't need to not know at all that it's going to happen, I think, to still be surprised by it.
Well, I just sort of had an epiphany, and it's that there's no way this movie is not going to be great. And you know why?
Why?
Because the fact it's the first part of a trilogy, which means that J.J. Abrams does not have to deliver an ending. All he has to do is set it up. So he's home free no matter what, man. J.J. Abrams literally can just set this thing up and be like, okay, guys, take it from here. Which is basically what he did with Lost, right?
Sure. Do you think that the end of Star Wars is a good ending? The original Star Wars?
When they get the medals?
Yeah.
Well, you mean in terms of how it sort of everything up?
No, I mean the end of Empire Strikes Back is a great ending of a movie for sure. what it is. I would say, especially having watched episode one pretty recently, you know, which tried to do basically the exact same ending as Star Wars. I'm really hopeful that J.J. Abrams tried to do something other than, you know, we solved the problem of this one episode and now we're having a brief party. And even though, you know, there's two more movies coming, like, I would say, why not give us an Empire Strikes Back type ending after the first movie of this trilogy?
Yeah,
why not?
I mean, I think that the ending of this movie would hopefully just leave people salivating. I don't think there's going to be a presentation of medals at the end of this movie, even though that would be an awesome throwback with all of the characters sort of nodding and winking at each other, you know,
or giving having somebody hand a giant blue globule to a random alien king that shakes his jowls around, and that's the end of the movie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I doubt that's going to happen. If it does, you know, at least things will have come full circle. But no, I think you're right. I think that it's going to end on a total cliffhanger where, you know, I'm just very excited. I have no idea what to expect. But again, it's unavoidable the fact that this is just the first part of a three-part saga, and I see this less as a sequel to Return of the Jedi or the previous trilogy, the original trilogy, than I do as just sort of the start of what you could call Volume 2. You know, we've had the first volume, which was neatly wrapped up, and now we're going to continue the mythology and sort of restart it clean with a new volume that references the previous volume. So again, after seeing this trailer, I've watched it about five times since it aired, and I'm just so excited. Like that opening scene where that mysterious character is like sort of scavenging around in that gigantic space. I mean, that just looks so cool. And all, you know, the TIE fighter crashing, you know, that whip pan from the Star Destroyer, that TIE fighter crashing, and just
right.
Everything just looks so awesome. Like all the X-Wing action, and, you know, I'm intrigued. I want to know who's in the hood and who would want to, build up the Empire again, if that's what's even happening. Who would want to do that? And, who wants to finish with Darth Vader started? Like, is there another third kid? Did Luke and Leia have another brother or something? I mean, I'm so pumped now. Like, it's really got me excited. And, you know, it's also kind of, I'm starting to get anxiety now about thinking about how it's going to be hard to get into this theater and get a good seat, you know, when this thing comes out. Like, that's real anxiety that happens. And this is really going to make that happen. You know, theater is going to have multiple screens for this, but it's probably going to be limited to 3 or 4 screens per theater. And it's just not going to be enough, especially in that first week. So it's like time to start thinking, okay, I got to get there 2 hours ahead of time because I must have a perfect seat for this. So, man, my juices are flowing right now.
I think in the Twitter era, this is probably the biggest event I've seen surrounding a trailer ever. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty strong indicator that we might be dealing with some kind of unique record-breaking type of movie event here. And that will be fun. You know, I think it'd be cool if we've had these movies that sneak up on us and end up making, you know, billions of dollars, like Jurassic World. Like, that was the movie that everyone in the entire world saw, that none of us went into it expecting it to be like that. I think we were excited about it, but nobody knew that was going to be like the highest grossing movie of all time or one of them. And this movie, I think we all see it coming. It's going to, it could really be that big cultural event, you know, that we haven't had in a while.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the story connects to people and if the word of mouth is strong, if they, you know, to put it in social media terms, share it, recommend it to people, and people continue to go back. And we'll see, you know, it's going to be huge. I mean, it might do enough business to get close to Avatar, you know, on its sort of first run where you have people seeing it for the first time. But, you know, what'll push it into that sort of, you know, pantheon in terms of success is whether or not it has the word of mouth and the repeat viewings. So I hope it does, man. I mean, I've watched these trailers over and over again. I hope the movie itself is good enough to make me want to go back and relive the experience over and over again.
All right. Well, that's all I got, Graham. Are you gonna see anything else? Like, if they told you there was gonna be another trailer a month from now, would you want to see it?
Of course, yeah.
I think I'm done. I know that's very like Ben Stark of me, but mm-hmm. I think I've seen all I want to see until the movie.
No, I mean I if they put out another trailer, I would absolutely watch it. But I thought you would. So I would thought a real quick question before we go. Like, let's say you walk up and Star Wars is sold out. What are you going to see instead?
I haven't checked the schedule for that weekend.
So that's the weekend before Christmas, right? So we'll have,
I think so,
The Revenant and Django Unchained the next weekend. Maybe Creed will still be playing.
Wait, what, Django?
Not Django, Hateful Eight, excuse me.
Oh, I'll definitely.
Django 2.
Yeah, right. I'm definitely interested in both of those movies. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm not properly estimating this movie. I feel like it's going to be on enough screens. I think I'm going to get to see it.
Well, we'll see, man. I hope so. And I hope we're all seeing it together, at GoonCon in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. That should definitely happen. Even if we've seen it already. We'll GoonCon it.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks, Graham.
Enjoyed it.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.
Max von Sydow, A-Wing.
Amazing, man. Can't wait to see him in action.
I know, man. And when Lupita Nyong'o is C-3PO's niece, that's the best part.
Yeah, I just really hope that they fix the CGI on that shot of Mark Hamill, where because that because that Jar Jar lip effect that they put on him, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah, dude, I love the fact that they brought back Jar Jar.